Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hero Process Podcast. And today I'm super excited because I'm interviewing the amazing India, and her life purpose story is perhaps one of the most fascinating and best life purpose stories that I've ever heard. And it's just so clean cut, and the transition that she takes from crippling anxiety, feeling lost, desperately applying for jobs, 8 or 10 a day when she didn't really know what she wanted to do in the first place, just needed to fill that gap, is something I think will resonate with many, many people. And we coached and I worked with her for about 9 months, and she found and stepped into her life purpose and is now fully living and embracing that. It feels good to her. I'm super happy for her, and I think you're going to love this podcast. So without further ado, let's get into it. So just for the people watching, just give a short introduction to yourself and kind of how we met, maybe how we, what we've been doing. We've been coaching for a little while now.
Yeah.
That would be really helpful. And then I've got a few questions I'd like to ask you about life purpose and kind of how it's all unfolded. So it's been a great journey for you, and it's a very clear-cut journey for you, which a lot of people, it's not as clean, as it kind of will jump around, kind of the purpose isn't as transparent always, but for you it's been like, boom, here we go, clear this, boom, and the next piece. So it's been really nice.
It has.
Yeah.
My name is India. I'm 25, live in London, was born in South Africa, came over to study and never left. Wasn't, I'm trying to think of when I met you, where I kind of was in my life, but I guess I had just finished my master's degree at the LSE. I'd started working in tech and a mental health startup slash tech. And I remember feeling very, very lost. And you'd been working with my brother. And at that point, I was suffering with severe panic attacks, completely debilitating, really hindering my life. And I secluded, struggling so much with my mental health. My world was structurally very great. I was in a great relationship, really good job. Everyone was healthy in my life. I was very social. Had another side hustle that was going really well. So things were perfect. And I just started to feel this overwhelming anxiety that would come with no reason and would just have panic attacks after panic attacks when I was lying on the beach on holiday. And that's when I really felt I need help. This is hindering my life to such an extent. And I didn't feel any kind of connection at that point to working with, I think I was working with a psychologist, but I really wasn't, I felt like I was re-traumatizing myself with talking about my childhood, which has been complicated, and have experienced some trauma, have lived a very privileged life, which I'm very grateful for. But just started really struggling and wasn't getting any help from traditional talking therapy. I really felt like I needed to dive deep and get to a point where I could start healing. And I remember when we first started working together, I had kind of no idea what I was getting into and no idea what the structure was.
That's the only way I get them on board.
You don't know, but come. And it's actually amazing to go in with that, though, because there's no skepticism, there's no expectations. It's just, okay, let's see where this goes. I really need help.
Yeah.
And I had to stop working. My panic attacks were really debilitating. And we started working together quite intensely then, while I had paused my professional career. And I was lost, really lost, and I was really struggling with my mental health. And I think I felt there was such resistance in getting better because it was so consuming, this anxiety. and you told me the feel it process, and we started going through that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first step in me actually having any tangible, having a tangible feeling of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because by nature, I am a runner. I'm a Libra. I just want harmony and peace. So any conflict, I'm out the door. I bolt. And it's been something that I've really had to work on. So your work is very confronting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would be helpful to...
Yeah, so let me just explain for people who aren't familiar. The Feel It process is a tool, very super simple, one of the main tools I use, that basically will allow you to change how you feel about anything. It will take you from feeling sad to happy, from feeling poor to rich. It will change how you feel about specific incidents, things that have happened, help you change how you feel about a specific person. And ultimately, if you do enough work, it will help you change how you feel about yourself. So super powerful. And that's one of the first things I teach people, because, you know, I'll only see people typically once a week, maybe even less than that, depending where we are in the journey. And to give them a tool that they can go away and use every day helps people move forward so much faster. So it's all about empowering the client, right?
And it is so empowering, because I've been searching for tools to kind of help deal with this anxiety. And the reason why I felt such an amazing effect from the Feel It process was because it's confronting. You're sitting there, you're having to feel through. And for me, I didn't necessarily know what I knew I was feeling really bad. And so, but I didn't know what was causing that. It was very overwhelming. And with the Feel It, we just kind of got through the layers. And even though I wasn't really sure of whether it was anger or if it was actually anxiety or sadness, you really helped me identify them and then clear them one by one. Which really was the start of my kind of healing journey. And I still struggle with anxiety, but the Feel It process has been the most instrumental in the other healing journeys that I've gone on, because it's helped me so much to physically, the process, sit and feel into it until it's passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that process, I think, has kind of really shaped my whole hero's journey and how I have been able to kind of go from really just feeling the worst that I've ever felt.
So you were kind of crippled emotionally at times, right? You couldn't go out at times and had to stop working for a while. And where are you at with it now, would you say? Where is it taking you to?
I mean, it's interesting because I was in such a bad place then and nothing had really happened to me. And now I've lost my mom after a really hellish few months of her illness and following her death. And going into her being ill from such a quite bad place and how I feel now, it's just mind-blowing to me, because I have such a sense of self now. I really feel like I am on my journey. I know what that journey is. And even though my world kind of shattered after the loss of my mom, I was able to pick up the pieces like I wasn't before she was ill. Yeah. And I don't necessarily know where that strength came from or how I am able to kind of process it. And grief has been such an interesting journey because it's a wild ride. But I'm feeling so much more stronger. And like I said, I have a purpose, which I think when I started to have my panic attacks, it was just a big... To be completely honest with you, if I look at... It was just before my mom got ill, and I'm sure we'll talk about signs and kind of messages, but I really couldn't understand why I was having these panic attacks. I mean, we used to speak about it. There was nothing arguably very wrong.
Yeah.
And as soon as my mom was diagnosed, I had one panic attack a couple of weeks after, and I haven't had one since.
Wow.
And so I really believe my mom and I, we were so interconnected, emotionally, even physically, energetically. And so I think my body was screaming to me and saying, whoa, something's coming.
Wow.
And then they stopped. Once I got the news, they stopped, you know, trying to tell me anything.
Wow.
And it's only because we started working together that I've been able to recognize that. So, yeah.
Wow. It's quite a story. Quite a story. Yeah. So, I remember there were times early on when we started working together that you were desperately trying to find a job.
Yes.
Right?
Desperate.
Desperate, frantically almost, applying for loads of jobs.
I mean, like A to day if I could. LinkedIn, easy
feeling
apply.
A lot of pressure to get a job.
No idea what job I wanted. There was just this panic that I didn't have one. And I remember you constantly saying to me, you know, feel into that. Why? What is feeling this? And I was like, Adam, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I need a job.
I've got to get a job. Give me a job.
And of course, with that, I wasn't really going to have an amazing job land on my lap, was I? I wasn't putting in what I wanted out.
Yeah, totally. So I almost kind of banned you. But you kept going anyway. You didn't listen. But it was like, no, you've got to just stop. You got to, how would it be if you'd have 3 months not applying for any jobs? And you're like,
ah! I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a realistic thing to do. And I did.
And you did it, yeah. You did it. And how was that? Was that uncomfortable for the whole time, or were you able to kind of settle into it? Because you needed to pause, right, and get still. And because this is one of the things when you talk about life purpose is people are so busy rushing around trying to get somewhere, needing to prove themselves, needing to show to the world that they've got a job and that you put a tie on in the morning that makes the world, you know, good, and externally it looks like you're kind of on a mission to do something. But that's not your life purpose. And then, you know, you get caught up in a mortgage and a job and kids, and before you know it, you come out the other end and you're retiring and you still haven't found your life purpose. So it's, and I get it, it's really hard. It's really hard to get yourself to stop. And not everyone has to, but for you it was like really in your face, wasn't it? It was like, I've got to get a job, so it was like we had to get you to do the opposite. And as you go then, as you stop, you kind of clear a little bit more as you go. You know, one day you might feel fine about it. The next day, you know, you might think, oh, no, this is really bad. You might talk to someone and they ask you that. There's always that one or two people that would trigger you and bring your stuff up, right?
Always.
Always one or two. And if you can get comfortable in saying to those people, whoever they are, no, I'm actually taking some time out now, that's a really powerful place to be. Because then you can really get on, find your purpose and get onto that.
Yeah.
So how did it then unfold? I forget now exactly, but we had to clear some stuff, right?
We had to clear some stuff. Yeah. And I mean, not kind of, it sounds a bit silly when I say, you know, not applying for jobs for 3 months really helped me. But I think I was in such a frenzy before that there was so much noise in how I was feeling. I wasn't really able to get still and kind of clear what I really needed to. I feel like I was distracting myself. And once I did kind of really force myself to be still, it was very uncomfortable. And I, like I said, I'm an avoidant person. I love to run. And so for me, it was just like, oh, no, those are the problems. But we'll just get a job and keep busy. And so stuff started really coming up because I wasn't sitting at my laptop for 8 hours a day writing random cover letters. I was thinking how I was feeling. And I really wanted to get my life back on track after my mom passed. And I think that was my biggest kind of fear leading that, kind of applying for all of these random things. And once I kind of sat still and got comfortable and sitting still, honestly, my my purpose was just, I feel like, handed to me. It was like, okay, none of this stuff that you are looking for is really right for you. And you know what, I've listened to your story and I've heard your story, Adam, and it's so interesting because when you say like these messages just pop up, it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
You're just like, what do you mean? Like, you could look at a tree and be like, yes, I should be with nature more, of course. But it just happens.
Yeah. So it just kind of comes to you and it's crystal clear.
And you also, right? I think, exactly, it's crystal clear. And I think when these things come up, you can look back and say, I've actually done the work to be open for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely didn't know what was coming, but I was open for anything.
Yeah.
And there was no resistance to anything because I was just sitting and being.
Mm. Yeah. So what was that life purpose, if you don't mind sharing? What was it that first came through that you then thought, actually, this is a thing for me?
It was that I really wanted to help people as a practitioner.
Okay.
And I say as a practitioner because I'm not sure in what capacity, but it was this very clear message to me that this is what I've always been interested in. This is what I've always wanted. And yeah, I don't know how really to describe this message, but it was just popped into my head one day and I thought,
what were you doing at the time, do you remember? It's just random.
I can't remember, but I remember at this point I was caring for my mom. We were having very tough decisions and also discussions about her passing and how we were feeling, and I remember in that moment being so overwhelmed with emotion and so also kind of in awe of the emotional depth that we were both feeling and how interesting our dynamic had become. And I thought, wow, this is really lighting me on fire. Even though this is the worst situation I could possibly think for myself, I'm still getting joy from what I'm learning about myself and what I'm learning from this person, my mom.
Wow.
And that's when it really started to unfold and I started to get more clear messages and I just started to do more research, and every kind of research path that I would go and every book I'd read, I'd be like, wow, that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what I believe too. And that's what I want to help people with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think caring for my mom and having to be, I guess, very emotionally mature in that situation, I felt for the first time in my life that I could really be there to help people.
Mm.
Like I was able to hold the space. And I also, just to be completely honest, I thought, I don't really want anyone else to feel like this and then feel alone.
Okay.
So yeah.
So it's grief counseling, grief practitioner of some sort, yes, whether it's trained psychologist or healer or whatever it's going to end up being. And off the back of that, which, by the way, that feels so true when you're saying it, just, I don't know if you can sort of feel it. It's like it feels really aligned and you do light up when you're talking about it.
I remember telling you, and I was really nervous to tell people because I was also very worried about external thoughts, and especially after going through such a kind of traumatic period, I was really worried people would think it was ingenuine and, okay, she's suffering, so she feels like this is the right path, but I remember telling you and you being like, yep, that's true. That feels true. And I was like, oh, thank you. I just needed to hear that because I know, but I just need to know that somebody else knows too.
I get it. I totally get that. And actually, how were people with you when you started to share it?
I was very tentative and I was kind of like, well, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
Could be.
Okay, yeah.
But they had the same reaction as you and I was very surprised and
yeah,
I was so honored. People would be like, yeah, that sounds like a really good job for you. Like, I've always seen you as that anyway.
Wow. Wow. But maybe, but you just hadn't ever fully seen yourself as that, right?
No, and I had to recognize myself as somebody that didn't always need help and that I could heal. And then from that, I could go and help people heal too. And I don't think, you know, anyone will ever get better. I think that's really important to say, but yeah, it just, I'm so excited about this journey. And I think the more that I learn and the more that I go on, I do just keep coming back to this idea that this really is my journey and this is my process, and everything in my life has happened to kind of facilitate this.
So you had the realization, your life purpose came to you, mm-hmm. Which it often does, by the way. That's normally how it happens. And that's when you know it's kind of a higher calling. It's not kind of the mind going, oh, I could go, which, by the way, a lot of people, I think, when they search for their life purpose, think, oh, it's a combination of the things that I like and love. And it often is, but there's a very different feel and quality to it when it kind of comes to you. I would say 90% of my clients, it comes just in a kind of random moment in this way. But you've got to clear your stuff first to get there. And then it's just a question of timing. Once you set that intention, it's going to unfold. So the purpose came in.
Mm-hmm.
What steps did you then take? Because obviously it's one thing knowing it, it's another thing to then start to go on the journey, right? And how did that feel?
I started researching at this point, just for context, I wasn't working, I was living back with my mom, caring for her. So there wasn't...
In South Africa.
Right? In South Africa. So there wasn't much space to kind of jump into a course straight away. But it was always in the back of my mind, and I just went to buy every book possible. And we live in such a small town, so it was about 5. but I just wanted to read, particularly about grief, because that's what I was experiencing at the time. And for me, it was just, okay, let me dip my toe in. Let's see how this resonates with me. And let's learn a bit more, because I had had my own experiences with practitioners in the mental health space. I'd worked in it in different capacities, but I didn't really know. It's such a kind of massive vocation and so unique in many ways. So I just read and read, and the more that I read, I was just so fascinated and so inspired. And it wasn't necessarily like psychology textbooks. I was listening to random like murder case trials in Australia, because it was the human behavior and thoughts that really inspired me. And then once I had recognized that, which also kind of just popped into my head, I was like, oh, yes, that is what I'm most interested in. And that guided me to then apply for some short courses to start my studies, and then apply for my second master's in September.
Wow.
So, and that went back and forth. That was not an easy journey. I applied to professional training center, and I was rejected. And I really thought that was my path. I was like, this is the perfect path that I need to go do, and I will come out as a practicing psychologist. And the moment I applied, they were like, no, this isn't right for you right now. I was like, okay, I really have to now push forward with this, because I've got my first rejection.
Yeah.
Or redirection, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it was tough, because I thought, well, these professionals are reading my kind of supporting statements on why I want to do this, and they don't recognize that for me right now. But I knew that it just wasn't the right place. And so I found the right course. And yeah, now hopefully going to start in September and kind of go on with my education and then professional training.
Amazing. So was it just the one rejection, or were there several?
There was one...
Sorry, I don't want to bring up your being rejected issues.
Thanks, Simon.
Not that you have any. Yeah.
it was just one, and it was... I had my heart set on this,
yeah.
On this, because it was a 5-year course, and I was like, this is it, it's easy for me.
Yeah.
If I get in and then just continue.
Got it. So it's quite interesting, because when you get on your purpose, the universe will often throw a little test at you. Some people have a lot of tests, but that one where it's like, are you really sure that this is what you want to do?
I'm in that test right now, because until September, I don't start studying. So I'm doing short courses and volunteering. Yeah. Quite a few months that I really have to sit with this and be like, this is what I want. I don't want to start another random job now just to be feel fulfilled temporarily now.
Yeah. Okay. Which, yeah, that is testing. That's really hard. So in our last coaching session together, we kind of, well, what you can definitely say is that the next part of her life purpose journey came through. I call it kind of the next iteration. So life purpose is you initially you get a piece which is just about manageable, right? You can do it. It's like, oh, could I change my life to go and do this? And oh, actually, I've got to do this course, and I'm not going to get a job, and how to, you know, you have to think about money, and what will everyone think? And then you get to a point where you can do that, and then the next piece comes in, which will then, you'll have to grow to be able to do that piece, and it will take you to a place that perhaps makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit of a challenge, but a bite-sized piece that isn't going to freak you out so much that you're like, there's no way I can do that. So what was that piece? And I know we haven't put it into words exactly, but it was kind of to do the next actions, right? What was that?
Yes, we were talking about in what capacity I saw myself as a practitioner and where I kind of, yeah, just where I saw myself in my future. And there was a lot of resistance initially, and I was like, well, you know, maybe just one or two people, I'll do one-on-one work.
I remember that.
I was like, oh no, I'll just do, you know, private one-on-one work, you know, keep it very small, very, very personal. And then we kind of, you know, this has evolved, and I kind of had the confidence to be like, well, I've been dreaming of hosting a podcast for, I mean, maybe 4 years now. I've got a massive notebook of just stuff I want to talk about. And there was so much resistance there. And I was like, it just doesn't, who would want to listen to me? You know, why should I do that? And I'm not even trained yet. And all of these excuses came out. And it felt deeply right for me. And I've felt that I've wanted to share, I don't know, my experiences, my learnings, my healing process, because it's helped me so much. I mean, literally crawl out of the pits of despair. But I never had the confidence to be like, I want to do this on a large scale.
Wow.
And then this opportunity came up.
Mm.
Because there was even resistance from me recognizing that that is really what I want to do. And that is also a passion for me, is sharing on a large scale.
Yeah.
But then the fears. I don't want to do that. I mean, you know, people will listen. That's all of the scary
people
stuff.
People will listen.
People will listen to the podcast that I put out.
Yeah. I often find it's like the people closest to you, you're thinking like, oh, what will they think? What will
yes,
they say?
Yes, exactly.
Joe blogs from Australia, you know.
No,
that's
come on
fine.
Over. Let me tell you my deepest, darkest secrets.
Absolutely.
I don't mind.
So when you say the opportunity arose, do you mean for us to sit down today? Or you mean, right, okay.
Because to be honest, you know, I've been planning and planning, but...
Yeah, it's stepping into it,
it's
right?
Stepping in.
It's just taking that first step is the hardest. Oh, man. It really is. And that's where, again, the feel it process comes in. It's like your emotions are going to get in the way. The fears, doubts, insecurities, it's going to feel uncomfortable, tense. Oh, I don't want to do that. What will people say? And then you have to sit down with those feelings and work through them until you get to a place where you're like, oh, it's okay, I can do it now. And then you have to then go and actually take that first step. So us doing this interview today to talk about life purpose is a great way to put you out there. You were in front of the camera.
Yeah.
How did it feel knowing that you were going to do this today? I know you were really excited, actually. I expected you to be like have more resistance than you did, or have you not told me the full?
No, actually, to be honest, I haven't felt much resistance. Cool. I've just been really excited because, I mean, I feel very comfortable with you. So if I did kind of mess it up, I'm hoping that's...
Yeah, we'll edit it. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also such... It's me and it's my story, which is so easy for me to talk about. The thing that I'm most articulate with and the thing that I really am... I have the most understanding is emotions. And so it's so easy for me to talk about this stuff. And yeah. So it's just been another really reiteration that...
Yeah, it's grounding it for yeah. you, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you can totally do this.
Yeah, and it's right. It's not scary.
No, even easier on a podcast if you're not doing
but
the
people
videos.
Will listen, Adam.
People will... Let's hope people listen. Yeah, wow. Okay, it's very inspiring, your story, and it is, it's a very clear, almost linear progression that's just unfolded. I guess, what has it been, what, 9 months or so? You're yeah. onto the second iteration of your life purpose, which is really cool, really cool. How does it feel to be kind of in it and doing it?
It feels so good to have this purpose.
Yeah.
And I feel... fulfilled by it, to be honest, and nothing is really materialized, but I have this knowing that has definitely filled the part of me that was desperately searching for anything, any job, any kind of opportunity, didn't matter in what, I just wanted to keep busy and kind of start on that rat race and get in that wheel. So it's such a cool feeling. I mean, I'm nervous, there's a lot of stuff I have to do to be where I want to be.
Yeah.
But I have this really genuine sense of just peace, knowing like, it's okay, I know where I want to go and I'll go there.
Yeah.
Because it's over the period of my life, which I also feel.
You'll totally get there, right? 100%. Yeah. You know, there's going to be fears and doubts. So this is how I view it. It's like the universe dangles this carrot in front of you. Here's your life purpose. It's going to be amazing, right? And to get there, you've got to take some steps that are going to feel a little bit challenging at times. There's going to be fears and doubts that are going to come up. And you know, what's it actually doing? What's the bigger picture? The bigger picture is you're going to get stronger through this. You already have, right? You're already like a different person compared yeah. to the person who started working 9 months ago. And you're going to get even stronger, you know. You're going to become, that's the beauty of this journey, is you become the person you've always dreamt of being.
Yeah.
You know, and you're already that. You're already like you're blossoming, without trying to blow smoke up you.
Thank you, Adam.
You are, and it's still early days, right? It's early days. Let's talk a little bit about life purpose and the life purpose journey. Having kind of embarked on it and gone from not knowing anything and, you know, to now you're kind of already the second iteration of your life purpose, what do you think about it? Where have you gone from, where were you thinking when you first started it, and where do you feel you're up to now? And there's no right or wrong with it, by the way. It's just really interesting to hear different people's perspectives.
Yeah. I think for me it's important to say that my life purpose is now focused around my career, but there is so much more to that for me in this life purpose. And I want to become a psychologist, but it's not the job, it's everything around that means so much more to me. So part of that is I'm so excited about the self-development and kind of going on this journey to continuously learn. And I felt so lost and so confused as to where my life was going to go. And I felt, before I had the sense of knowing, I really struggled with this anxiety to be successful, to perform, to make sure that I was externally seeing like I was working towards something.
Right.
And it's it sounds a bit crazy to say this, but knowing what I need to do now has taken so much pressure off me.
Yeah. Wow. You've really touched on something there, because that anxiety, so many people feel that.
Talking button before.
Oh, no way.
No, I promise you. 3 years.
So, that is a sign.
Twice.
You're now talking. Right? We've got this on film still. This is amazing. I don't know if you want this to be to go out, but
that's
the
crazy.
Universe gives you signs. You've never used your talking, your intercom, in 3 years of being here. You've just used it twice. So it's like you're starting to speak.
Exactly.
I mean, thank God that just happened, because that one, that's just given us a... So I'm not sure if you caught all of that, but basically the intercom went twice as we're filming. We're not expecting anyone, at least not at this time. And you then spoke to the person, but you've never in 3 years of living here ever used the intercom.
I've never known how to use it. It's never worked. It's been the bane of my existence. And today, it just worked. I didn't even know what to press. I just pressed a button.
So look, you're gonna. Some of you watching this are gonna go, "This is just random. It means nothing." But what happens when you're on this journey is you start to get weird things happen.
Yeah.
And there are signs and synchronicities and things like that. Like, what have we done today?
Yeah.
India has started speaking. She's started being heard as well, actually.
Yes, yeah.
It's the other thing, because he didn't hear you, or he didn't get the right guidance. He didn't get the right guidance to come up to the flat the first time, because you have to go through a side door.
Yeah.
Then he rang again, and you gave him clearer instructions, and that helped him on his path. So I'm elaborating a little bit here, but you get the general gist. It's like, this is quite an unbelievable sign. You're on your path.
Yeah. And they do just pop up like that.
They do. Like weird things. Weird things. I had a guy, in fact, I get the impression, because I mentioned him, did I mention to you? There's a guy in Southwest London who rides a unicycle. Have you seen him?
I have. I see him all the time.
Oh, you do?
No, well, like once a week.
Okay.
And every time I think of you.
Yeah. So this unicycle, it must be like 2 or 3 meters high off the ground. It's unbelievable.
Massive.
And
massive
how he gets up on it, and I have no idea.
So many questions.
And why?
It's the other one. It's his life purpose. There's no why.
Yeah, that's true. He's living his life purpose. But you know, I saw it and I was like, that doesn't happen every day. There's definitely a message in that. And it's how you access it. You just go inside and you just ask the question, what's the message in this for me?
Mm.
And once you get still enough, you know, you get into, if you start meditating, you get more and more still. You get the inner guidance. And that, combined with life purpose, combined with the feeler process, you've got to, one, you need to learn how to listen to your guidance. Two, you need to be able to clear your emotions as they come up. Otherwise, you're never going to take the steps, right? You'd never launch the podcast. You might do one. You wouldn't tell anyone about it, for example. But if you have the tools to clear that stuff away, then you would, you know, feel better about it. You'd then tell people. Then you start to promote it. Then you take the next step. And that's how life purpose works. But if you don't have those tools, it's hard, right? I don't know. I couldn't live my life purpose if I couldn't clear what it brings up. It just wouldn't work for me at all.
And I think on the clearing for me, because that has been just such an incredible, I mean, it has really been the foundation for really my whole healing. But what I want to say is that when we do clearings, right, sometimes there's still resistance, there's still something that's there.
Yeah.
And it's it sounds like a very simplistic, you know, kind of process that you sit, you be still, you feel, and it's cleared. And that is not always the case. I mean, for me anyway.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but it's being able to just recognize even. Yeah. Even if you only get through the first part of, okay, I'm really struggling with my grief today. It's not going to clear always.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't always. Most of the time it will, but sometimes you've got to come back to it the next day.
Which is so cool that you can keep coming back to it, because it will clear.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's supposed to.
Totally. And big things like grief from someone dying, you're not going to clear that straight away, right? It's going to be over a period of time, and it will comes up in waves. And if it all came up at once, you'd implode on the spot. Mm-hmm. So it just wouldn't work. So the universe gives you it in bite-sized little chunks.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're kind of crying and snot's running down your face, you're going to think, actually, this is too much. But you can just about deal with it, right?
Well, there's been points where I have been crying and there's snot going down my face. And I'm like, I don't want to feel anymore.
Oh, likewise.
I am tired. Likewise. And you're like, okay, just one more. And I'm like, oh, my God, please, no. But after that, where the resistance is, after that one, I'm like, okay, that's what I really needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing, India. That's been so helpful. I hope that's given you a bit of information, inspired you, hopefully not put you off doing the healing clearing work too much.
It's... I mean, I just one more thing I'd love to say on it. Please. Is that... with, you know, I mentioned this lightly before, but I've embarked on other kind of alternative healings in all different forms. But the Feel It process has allowed me to successfully dive into them. And that has also helped so much. So it's such a kind of process. And thank you for teaching me that, Adam. I mean, honestly, you've really changed my life, but... thank you for letting me talk for so long.
Bless you. Thank you so much. That's really nice. So there we go. Thank you, India. And that's all for now.
Yep.